Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com. You can view the live stream on Facebook at Mother Miriam Live. Now, here's Mother Miriam.
Hello, beloved family. Welcome. So blessed and happy to be with you. I pray that you're doing well and that you are continuing in this Lent and not giving up and just persevering ahead, just as our Lord did. What would happen if he gave up along the way? We'd be dead. Bishop Strickland, who many of you know, was the Bishop of Tyler, who invited us to Tyler, and then was removed by the Holy Father for no reason given and no further assignment. And yet he remains a bishop. He remains the successor of the apostles, like every bishop is. And the faithful are very grateful that, in a sense, Bishop Strickland has been freed up to help us to speak all over the world. And in today's issue of LifeSite News, is published a letter that Bishop Strickland has written. The title is Bishop Strickland Pens Open Letter Calling Pope Francis and All Bishops to Return to Christ. And here is his letter. He says, I am compelled to speak to all of my brother bishops around the world, including Pope Francis, Bishop of Rome. In many ways, I am the least among you, but I share with you the anointing as a successor of the apostles and the call to guard the deposit of faith, and I speak to you in this spirit. Bishop Strickland says, I beseech you, let us return to Christ and his way. And let us be bold like our predecessors from the first, second, and third centuries, many of whom followed the Lord to death, bearing heavy crosses in his name. Let us stand with our brothers, who in the 20th century was strong enough to speak against despotic rulers, even though they were a minority voice in their time. Let us in the 21st century be vigorous in knowing and proclaiming Jesus Christ as the light of the world and the Lord of truth. Let us proclaim with deep conviction the fullness of the message of Jesus Christ and resist any temptation to share only the portion of his truth that the world accepts in order to avoid the ire of a world that still hates him. Let us speak with full-throated support the inerrancy of sacred scripture and proclaim that it is truly God's word, revealed to us and imparted to us as a sacred treasure that leads us from darkness into light. Let us share the gloriously good news that Jesus Christ is the sacred word incarnate and that reverence for his word is reverence for his real and sacred presence among us. Just as he promised, let us call for a worldwide Eucharistic revival that proclaims with tidings of great joy that Jesus Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist, at every Mass, in every tabernacle, and at every altar of Eucharistic adoration. Let us teach our flocks that all the sacraments are Jesus Christ, present and working among us, calling us to repentance, healing, and peace, and strengthening us with sanctifying grace so that we may reach out to the poor, the marginalized, and the despised to share his good news. Let us boldly adhere to our ancient faith that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life sent to us by our Heavenly Father. Let us call the world to the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, which guides us through his one holy Catholic and apostolic church to eternal life with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers, Let us be strong and clear regarding all the teachings of our Catholic faith, which speak of the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. The Bride of Christ proclaims the truth that God has created us, male and female, excuse me, the Church, the mystical body of Christ, proclaims the truth that marriage is a sacred bond between one man and one woman, committed for life and open to children, and that this model ordained by God will guide humanity until the end of time. Let us pledge never to leave those caught in sexual sin of any kind to wander in the darkness of a sinful lifestyle. Let us be the Church that welcomes all, but never abandons any to sin and the dark ways of the world. Let us open wide the doors of Christ's Church and welcome all to the sacred path of grace and life, teaching that the sacrificial love that Christ models for us is the only real love. My brothers, may our calling to shepherd and feed the Lord's flock never fall prey to compromise with a word which attempts to diminish the force and vigor of the gospel and to render our faith irrelevant and empty. Christ has called us to be in the world but not of the world. Let us resist the currents of our time, which seek to create a world in our image and to eliminate God from his place at the center of creation. Let us resist the voices that too often come, even from within the Church herself, calling us to abandon the truth that Jesus Christ proclaimed, and instead seek to twist, alter, and update this truth until it is unrecognizable and no longer rooted in reality. We must recognize, says Bishop Strickland, we must recognize that we stand at a precipice of devastation, the likes of which the world has never seen. Let us open our eyes to the evil forces that bring division and darkness, even as they claim to offer a new way for humanity. Let us have the audacity to say no to these trends that seek to erase God and to annihilate our God-given right to choose right from wrong in personal freedom and autonomy. Let us simply say no to the voices that whisper for the dethronement of God and seek to install a global state in his place. My brothers, all things are possible with God, and his mercy is always focused on granting us new opportunities to turn from darkness to light. It is not too late, but the time is short for us to do our job. Let us together take up the mantle we received at our Episcopal consecration and proclaim Jesus Christ anew. Let us be shepherds. Signed, Bishop Joseph E. Strickland, Emeritus of the Diocese of Tyler. That's a bishop, beloved, and I pray that every priest and every bishop would take up the heart of this shepherd, or the shepherd of our souls, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been so, so sorely, sorely abandoned. The gospel has been sorely abandoned. I don't know what it will take for us to return. It certainly takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of seminarians and priests and bishops who have been ordained. It's apart from him, we can do nothing. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would strike your hearts and empower you. I have an article here on the Sacrament of Holy Orders from years ago. And it begins this. Saint Joseph is the patron of priests. He was the divinely appointed guardian over the infancy and childhood of our Lord. But wonderful and lofty as were the dignity and office thus conferred upon the Holy Patriarch, they did not bestow such powers over the Lord as are given to priests of the new law. They did not bestow such powers given to the priests of the new law, who under the Eucharistic species are able to call down upon our daily altars the body and blood of Christ to offer them in sacrifice and administer them to the faithful. Our Lord himself was the first priest of the new dispensation, and the Magi, in offering him incense, bore witness to his sacerdotal character. The Savior exercised the office of his priesthood when he offered himself in sacrifice. This great act of Christ is perpetuated by the Christian priesthood. The dignity and power of the ministers of the church Hold on now. The dignity of the priesthood is seen in this, that it gives power over the real body of Christ, that is, the power of consecrating, offering, and administering the Holy Eucharist. Secondly, the authority of the priestly office consists in jurisdiction over the mystical body of Christ, that is, in the power to teach and rule the faithful. And as we come to the first break, I say to you, priests and bishops, the faithful would be better off if you simply abandoned us rather than leading us to hell, rather than abandoning the faith and teaching error. I beg you to return to Christ. With Bishop Strickland, I beg you. We'll be right back to continue this after the break. Don't go away.
Please join us in a prayer to St. Anthony of Padua. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O dear protector, St. Anthony, on this day we direct our fervent prayer to you, asking you to hear us and to intercede for us. We are parents who ask for peace in our families, our worthy occupations, and our daily bread. We are children who ask for divine assistance and protection, in the hope of a successful and happy future. We are the needy poor, the afflicted, and sinners who come to you for help and grace. Therefore, speak on our behalf to that child whom you hold in your arms, and we are sure of being heard. Amen.
Joe McLean here, host of A Catholic Take, heard on the Station of the Cross each weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. A bold synthesis of information and inspiration, keeping you up to date on the news and issues that you may have missed from a courageous Catholic perspective. That's A Catholic Take, weekday morning, 7 a.m., right here on the Station of the Cross and the free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Download it today. God love you.
What you're offering and giving to me, you deserve to get back because you're offering more than I can give.
I learned so much through the Station on the Cross. I listen to the radio station daily, and I absolutely love it.
I was attending the chapel and places like that, and through your programs, I was able to find out how other Protestants had come back into the Catholic Church. God bless the Station of the Cross.
Donate today at thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved, to Mother Miriam Live. And we have just read a quite a perfect letter from Bishop Strickland. Hold on a moment. Who has written a letter to priests, to all bishops and priests, and it's published on today's LifeSite News. And I completed that letter, and I'm going on now to an article written on the Sacrament of Holy Orders. And I continue, the power and dignity of the priesthood are conferred in ordination. It's on a website titled Catholic Harbor of Faith and Morals, Faith and Morals, CatholicHarborofFaithandMorals.com. It's a website. It's the most magnificent website, beloved, I've ever come across. It's 1,000% Catholic, and the articles are magnificent. The second point here is the power and dignity of the priesthood are conferred in ordination. The meaning of the name ordination, it's called the sacrament of orders because it constitutes various grades of rank and function in the sacred ministry relative to the Blessed Sacrament. Secondly, the external signs of this sacrament consist in the imposition of hands and the delivery of the sacred instruments proper to the order received, conjoined with the words of ordination. And thirdly, the internal grace, the sacrament of orders, imprints an indelible character on the soul and confers a special grace for the discharge of the duties of the sacred ministry. I would beg you, priests and bishops, to go to the country, walk along the beach, go to a private room or a chapel, and go be alone with God, and go back to the day that you were ordained. Did you mean those promises? Are you one of the false communists and Masons that were brought into the church with the churches unknowing it? Or are you a real Catholic? If you are a true Catholic, return to your faith. Because if you continue to teach against the faith, if you continue to teach that marriage is anything other by one man and one woman, or that a man can be a woman and a woman can be man, or transhumanism, or same-sex unions, if you continue to teach all of that, any of it, you will not be in heaven because you are going against God's design, not a casual design, but his design to build his kingdom. And when you go against it, you not only damn your soul, but you are responsible for the souls who follow you into damnation. It's very, very serious. I beg you, why did you become a priest? What called you to the priesthood? Were you sincere on the day of your ordination, or were you one of the devil's minions? I beg you to examine your conscience. If you're one of the devil's minions, you still have time to repent and give your life to Christ and be saved. If you will not do that, you are on your way to hell for all eternity. But if you will do that, there is no one, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. I'll continue with this article. Number 3, minister and subject of orders. The minister of this sacrament is the bishop. The qualifications for holy orders are proper age, sufficient knowledge, freedom from impediments, etc. And gratitude to God for the sacrament of holy orders, on which the administration of most of the sacraments depends. The burden of the priesthood is heavy and responsible. The faithful should pray for their own pastors and ask the Lord that he send more laborers into his harvest. That was an outline of the article to follow, which is from the Catechism of the Council of Trent on the Sacrament of Orders, why the Sacrament of Orders should be explained. And bishops and priests who have fallen away, who are leading the sheep astray, you will be accountable for every moment. But it's not too late for you to return and to repent. The article continues from Trent. From an attentive consideration of the nature of the other sacraments, we shall find little difficulty in perceiving that so dependent are they all on the sacrament of orders that without its intervention, some could not exist or be administered, while others would be stripped of the religious rites and solemn ceremonies and of that exterior respect which should accompany their administration. The pastor, therefore, following up his exposition of the sacraments, will deem it a duty to bestow on the sacrament of orders and attention proportioned to its importance. This exposition cannot fail to prove salutary, in the first place, to the pastor himself, and in the next place, to those who may have embraced on the ecclesiastical state, and finally, to the faithful at large. Dear priests, this is from me now. I know of numbers of priests, of young seminarians, who when they were ordained, truly gave their whole hearts to Christ, truly intended to be a priest of God, without any duplicity. But somehow along the line, you've gotten a whiff of power, and you have relished in the power over people, over administration, even to their destruction. You've also, many of you, have gotten into the so-called corporate ladder image of wanting to be a Monsignor, and then a bishop, and then a cardinal. And then there are cardinals today who are so far from the faith and so leading thousands of sheep astray because they want to be maybe loved by Pope Francis. They want to be in the in crowd. You may be in the in crowd with Pope Francis, but you will not be in the in crowd in heaven. And in hell, there will be no in crowd. You will suffer together. It's not too late to repent. The article says, to the pastor himself, because while explaining this sacrament to others, he himself is excited to stir up within him the grace which he received at his ordination. To others whom the Lord has called to this sanctuary, by inspiring them with the same love of piety and imparting to them a knowledge of those things which will qualify them the more easily to advance to higher orders, qualify them. The greatest qualificator is humility. And to truly be another Christ on earth. To the faithful at large, by making known to them the respect due to the ministers of religion. If you've seen Michael Matt of The Remnant recently, he has shown such hideous videos of chicken dancing at Mass, of all kinds of clown outfits, of dancing, of priests who so despise the faith and degrade it. It is it's totally despicable, and it sickens the faithful no end. But more importantly, those priests who partake in that have lost their faith and are not on the road to heaven. Mother, how can you say that? I can. If you love me, keep my commandments. By their fruits you shall know them. That's our Lord's words. It also not infrequently occurs that among the faithful there are many who intend their children for the ministry while yet young, and some who are themselves candidates for that holy state. And it is proper that such persons should not be entirely unacquainted with its nature and obligations concerning the duties of clerics and so forth. On the orders as a sacrament, each of the orders, we could see many, the article refers to the Council of Carthage and many other councils and writings. But today, beloved, why should young men desire the priesthood? They don't want to be clowns. They don't want to be ordained to a priesthood that is soft and afraid of speaking the truth. A priesthood who, in the midst of a debauchery in the church and apostasy, is afraid to speak, afraid of what will happen to him. That is a priest who has lost his ordination. I'm not saying he won't be in heaven, but cowardice has no role in the priesthood and certainly no role as a bishop. That's why you wear a red sash for the blood of Christ. Silence in the face of evil is evil. Under the heading, Dignity of the Sacrament, it reads this: the faithful, then, are to be made acquainted with the exalted dignity and excellence of this sacrament in its highest degree, which is the priesthood. And today, beloved, how do we do that? How do we show that to young people when the priesthood is a mockery? When's the last time any priest, any of you, spoke of contraception? In one diocese, I learned that the bishop has required his priest to have one sermon a year on contraception, which is probably more than other dioceses ever get. But one sermon a year on the issue of life itself and mortal sin, I don't even understand it. Any more than I understand churches having signs outside on the wall for public to see, confessions heard Saturdays for 15 minutes, some 45 minutes. For a parish of hundreds of people, heard once a week for 45 minutes. There's no shepherding in that. There are people who receive the sacrament in mortal sin, or there are people who haven't received the sacrament for the longest time because they know they're in mortal sin. Our people aren't being taught. Hosea says, my people, God says to Hosea, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Shame on you, dear priests. You should be in the confessional at least a half hour before every single Mass. People will learn you're there, and they'll begin to come. How many churches in that 15 minutes on Sunday, or 45 minutes even, there's still a line who never get to confession because the priest says it's time, out of the confessional, and never returns after Mass. In my heart, he could care less. He's teaching that confession, you know, if you catch it, fine, if not. And it means their souls and their eternity. Dear priest, please return to your priesthood. I beg you, who am I? Nobody, I'm just a sheep. I beg you to return to your priesthood. Bishops, I beg you to be bishops again and be fathers, father to your priests. There's the music for our second break, beloved. We'll come right back after the break, and it'll be our half hour for your calls and your emails. We'll be right back.
The Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network presents Saints and Seasons. On March 5th, we celebrate the feast of St. Kieran the Elder, Bishop and Confessor. Kieran was born in County Cork in the 4th or 5th century and is considered the first of all saints born in Ireland. At some point, he journeyed to Rome in order to properly learn the Catholic faith. Some accounts say that he was consecrated a bishop on the continent, but others maintain that he was consecrated by St. Patrick himself once Kieran had returned to Ireland. In either case, Kieran served the Irish people as both a bishop and an abbot, having founded a monastery at Sir Kieran, and he is regarded as the first bishop of what is now the Diocese of Ossory. Kieran's widowed mother took the religious veil at the hands of her own son. In several traditional sources, Kieran has been identified with St. Piran, a patron of Cornwall who shares this feast day and several similarities in the accounts of their lives, though many scholars contend that they were indeed two distinct saints. Some traditional accounts also claim, perhaps controversially, that St. Kieran's activities in Ireland actually preceded St. Patrick's mission, though there is no certainty either way. Also celebrated on this day are St. Carthagius, a disciple and successor of St. Kieran, St. John Joseph of the Cross, and many other martyrs, confessors, and holy virgins. For more about the saints and seasons of the Catholic Church, visit thestationofthecross.com/saints and seasons.
The Station of the Cross has many ways to keep you informed about our programming. You can view the highlights of our primetime programming schedule or the full 24/7 programming grid at both thestationofthecross.com or the free iCatholic Radio app. Just search under the Programming tab. Our website also offers a printable version for your convenience.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved, to Mother Miriam Live. This is our half hour together, and I love it. Our lines are always open, our phone lines, and you're welcome to call in with anything whatsoever on your heart. As I always say, the heart of the matter is the matter of your heart, and the toll-free number is 1-877-511-5483 or email at mother@thestationofthecross.com. We have an email from Dathan, who writes, what's the point of infallibility if the church says everything it teaches is true? If it's all true, why do you need to make a distinction? Doesn't the distinction by default say we could be wrong on this? Whatever the church teaches that is binding on the faithful, in matters of faith and morals, is infallible. It doesn't mean that every single statement made by a pope or a theological commission or anything like that is infallible. It may be true, but not infallible. It may be generally true. However, we could say, for example, we could say St. Francis is the Pope, and therefore everything he teaches is true. Well, if you paid attention, it's not the case specifically now, but it was at the First Council of the Church that the decree of infallibility was defined, and it says, doesn't say the Pope is infallible. It doesn't say that he's impeccable, meaning without sin. It doesn't say that anyone in the church who teaches the faith, or even a whole council, is infallible. What it says is that when the Pope, the Holy Father, teaches, gives us, not just teaches, but makes a statement on faith and morals, ex cathedra, ex cathedra, either way to pronounce it, out of the chair of Peter, when he says, this is binding on the faithful, as a matter of faith and morals, when the Pope says that from the chair of Peter, this dogma is binding on the faithful. The Holy Spirit protects the church, just like he's protected Scripture. And it is infallible. Not everything he says. In fact, I don't know if I can count on both hands the number of infallible pronouncements through 2,000 years. But the rest of the whole catechism, it doesn't mean it's not true, but things could be expressed in different ways through the years by different councils. But when a decree is infallible, it's word for word printed out what it is. And when the Pope, I bless God that Pope Francis has not decreed anything infallible in his whole pontificate. But when that's the case, it's not that Pope Francis is infallible. It's actually a negative gift. It means then when a statement from the chair of Peter is pronounced infallibly and made binding on the faithful, the church is protected from error. It's not the whim of a pope, that the pope himself, by the Holy Spirit, in that instance, is protected from error. That's what the gift of infallibility is. It's a negative one that prevents the pope from putting on the faithful anything that's not from God and not totally true. But again, right for 2,000 years, there's been very few that have been their infallible pronouncements, such as the Assumption of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, those things. They're absolutely infallible. There's a lot of theology and a lot of discussion that has tremendous truth in it, could be 100% truth, but because it's not binding on the faithful, it doesn't rest on their eternal salvation, it has not received the gift, the seal of infallibility, even though it's true. There are many things we know is true. Jesus died, rose again from the dead, all of that. but many things are expressed that are true, but it's not an infallible statement, which would be binding on the faithful for their salvation. Yet the beliefs need to be there. Greg says, "Hello, Mother. Is it true that Jesus gives you three chances at the end of your life to come back to him according to divine mercy? Can you clear up that, please? Thank you and God bless." Greg, I've never heard of such a thing. Our Lord, nowhere, divine mercy or not, nowhere does it say that our Lord gives you three chances at the end of your life to come back to him according to divine mercy. I don't know where anyone got that. On the Sunday of Divine Mercy, God wants everyone to know, and he's published this for St. Faustina, that mercy is his greatest attribute. And no matter the gravity of or number of your sins, if you come on Divine Mercy Sunday and you pray the chaplet and you confess your sins and all of that, God will free you from all your sins. It's a tremendous look at the... who am I thinking of? The priests in Stockton, I can't even think of them. It's where Father Don Calloway is, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, I think it is. They have it all spelled out for Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's very, very, very beautiful. But that's it. While you're alive, you don't have three chances, you have a million chances. You can always repent, always, always repent. But once you die, that's the end of the story. If you die in a state of grace, you will be in heaven, albeit probably through purgatory, but you'll be in heaven. The only people in purgatory are those on their way to heaven. If you die in a state of mortal sin, then you will be in hell, no matter what. There's no purgatory for you if you're in mortal sin. If you die apart from a state of grace, you will be in hell. So that's the teaching of the church, Greg. And I don't know about anything else. We have a call from John in Kentucky. Hello, John.
Hi, Mother Miriam. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, John. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you called in.
I don't always catch your show. Sometimes I miss it, but I always pray for you. I want you to know that.
Well, that means a lot to me, John, a lot. And I bless God for the graces that have come through your prayers.
You know, I want to talk about something that bothers me, especially with the laity and to some degree, well, with the priests too, is I think that this document that came out about, you know, same-sex marriage and all that, mm-hmm. it discounts the priesthood just one more time.
That's right.
I have this water purification system in my house, and it looks like one of the containers that you see in the vestibule of churches where you get holy water. And, you know, I can go up to that. It looks just the same, filled with water. I can go up that, and I can bless that thing 1,000 times over, and it doesn't become holy water because I do not have a ministerial blessing like a priest does.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And so all the laity and people who say all the time, well, you know, it's just a blessing. Well, no, it's not just a blessing.
Good for
it's
you.
It's a blessing from a holy Catholic priest.
That's right.
And so when people go along with this, it's like they just want them to take their collars off and not be priests anymore. I guess that's, you know, pretty much.
Well, they
much
don't know
life.
The priest. They don't understand the priesthood. They just don't understand.
Yeah.
Because the ministerial and the common priesthood, we're common. We are the common priesthood, meaning that we are consecrated to bring men to God, to evangelize the world. But the ministerial priesthood is from God to us. Unfortunately, it's the priests who have so muddied the waters by having so-called Eucharistic ministers, by having lay people at the sanctuary, by having lay people act like priests, by priests giving up their ordained status. The priests have muddied the water. I don't blame it on the lay people, but I do blame it on the priests.
I don't know, Mother, being a lay person going through this all of my life, sometimes I just gotta, every once in a while, I gotta point my finger at the laity, because, you know, they have an obligation to educate their conscience. And yes, the priests need to do that. Well, I agree 1,000%, but, you know, the laity, they're so indifferent.
They don't know even why they're Catholic, John. They don't know their faith. They're responsible, the laity. There's no question every word you're saying is true. But they're half dead. They don't know why they're Catholic. They don't know the faith. Do we blame it on the priests? Yes. The bishops? Yes. Them particularly for not learning their faith and leaving it to others? Yes. All of that is to blame. But in most part, I think the laity is fairly dead to this faith. Many of them go to church on Sunday and live during the week as if God doesn't exist. So it's tragic. It's hard to know who to blame, but it's tragic.
You know, something that staggers me, because today is a big election day, whatever mm-hmm. they call the day, the mm-hmm. Super Tuesday. Right. And I was thinking, just how many Catholics, so supposedly Catholics, are going to go out and vote for death? It's just the, you know, I've known you way back decades, and we've been talking about this, and I know how you've battled about it even before you started your order and everything mm-hmm. ever going on. And I just get so disgusted after all of these decades. There's going to be probably 50% of the Catholics who vote that they are going to vote for a person like Biden.
I think it's more than 50%. It has to be more, because he got in to be president because of Catholics.
Yeah.
It's because of Catholics. It's because of Catholics.
Thing.
It's so tragic,
sad.
John. It's really tragic.
Really, really, really sinful. And that's why I was listening to how you opened your show. And I'm thinking, yeah, all these priests, what's wrong with them? Why don't they want to be priests?
What's wrong?
Is it? It's just like they've been taken over by the devil.
Well, I think that's true, John. Pope Paul VI, as you know, said last century that the smoke of Satan entered the church, and he did, because it's the church. He could care less about the world, Satan, but because it's the church, and it's what the scriptures say would happen toward the end time, that even the elect, if possible, could be deceived, and that's what's happening. The elect are being deceived. Do I blame totally Satan for it? Well, he's at work, but we give in. We give in. And we can't say we're in a total state of apostasy. I don't know if it's 100%. I doubt that. But we are in a state of apostasy with Catholics. More Catholics have abortion than non-Catholics or Christians altogether. Divorce is higher among Christians than non-Christians. It's the devil's playground. And we've given in. And when I came into the church, John, 1995, I saw three generations lost to the faith. And I didn't come in, nor do most converts, because of Catholics, because they don't know their faith and they don't live their faith for the most part. But I came in because I want God and I want truth. And blessed be God, he led me to his church. But most Catholics do not know their faith. And it's tragic. So in my heart, I've asked God to let me live to 500, because as long as there's a soul alive who doesn't know Christ in his church, I want to be out there to tell them. And I wish bishops and priests would do that while there's yet time.
God bless you, Mother.
Yeah, you
God
too, John. You. God, there's a music for our break there, one, but I'm so happy for your call. God bless you. Keep up the good fight and spread the good news. Don't let the devil and discouragement stop you from that. Okay, God Hi. Bless you, beloved. We'll be right back after the break, and welcome to take. We'll have another 10 minutes if you wish to call in. God bless you. We'll be right back. Hello, beloved. This is Mother Miriam, host of Mother Miriam Live. Like the Catholic Current and the many other programs that originate from the Station of the Cross, Divine Mercy in My Soul is all about the messages that Jesus revealed to St. Faustina. It is aired every Sunday morning at 11 Eastern and Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can listen anytime to Divine Mercy in My Soul on the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Here's the question for your non-Catholic friend. Are you lured by the half-century-old shift in Christianity that hails, I am supposed to be blessed with all my needs met, including excellent health, upward financial abundance, and sidestepping any adverse circumstance? Well, here's your three best friendship tools for Catholic evangelism. Number one, sand or rock. Your prosperity church or your megachurch is offering you vanishing fantasies. Tens of millions are reaching for the lures that tickle a natural human quest for life with no heartaches. That is not Christianity as described by Jesus and the apostles. Secondly, there's 73 books, not just 73 individual verses of a dream life. God's merciful action in our life brings us into seasons that are not pleasant. We all struggle with expectations like, take up your cross and follow me. We just can't skirt it. This is a very real part of Christianity. St. Paul said in multiple places, what he suffered as loss, he counted as rubbish in order that he might gain Christ. And thirdly, my take on the lives of the saints. Bluntly said, more went wrong than went right, except at the end. And isn't that what counts? Find me online at Smarty Pants Catholic Evangelist.
Hear a powerful sermon you need to share with a loved one? Maybe there's a guest, prayer, or teaching segment that deserves another listen. You can listen to any of our network-produced programs at your convenience by finding us wherever you enjoy podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, and the free iCatholic radio app. Be uplifted in your faith. Listen today at thestationofthecross.com or on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved, to Mother Miriam Live. And this is our last segment. We have 10 minutes. And again, you're welcome to call in with anything on your heart. Toll free 1-877-511-5483 or email at mother@thestationofthecross.com. We have an email from Vinny who says, Dear Mother Miriam, my name is Vinny and I'm from Connecticut. I'm 16 years old and I've been listening to Catholic radio and podcasts over the past couple of years. I often hear references to theology of the body. I was wondering what it is all about, and if you could recommend any information that would help me understand and learn more about it. God bless. Your friend in Christ, Vinny. P.S. I enjoy your radio show and many of the other shows on the Station of the Cross and EWTN. Thank Vinny. Thanks so much. The theology of the body, when we speak of, hold on now. I lost the dates. It's okay. When we speak of the word theology, means theo God, ology, the study of. So it's the study of God. And it is, in this case, the study of God's design for the body, for men and women and their God-given sexuality. And it's taken from 133 Wednesday audience messages of St. John Paul II. And so each of those messages was short, but 133 over a period of time makes a very packed book. So that's what it is. John Paul II gave 133 Wednesday audiences on God's design for men and women and the family and procreation. And people have taken those and put it together in a full book. And you could go to Catholic.com in their shop and take a look at what all that on the theology of the body, and you'll be able to understand it more if you wish. We have an email from John who says, Hello, Mother. I have a question. When I go to confess my sins, I go in and say, Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and tell him my sins, and there may be some that I forgot, and I would tell him that. When he tells me my sins are forgiven, does that mean the ones I cannot remember also? Or should I try harder to remember them? What if I cannot remember them and die? Will I be held accountable and thus go to hell for sins that I simply couldn't remember? Thank you, John. No, John. Every time we go to hell, oh, terrible. Every time we go to hell, I'm so sorry. Every time we go to confession, what I personally do is say, Father, and for all the other sins I've committed that I can't remember, I am sorry. That's all we need to say. And we are forgiven for all our sins when we go to confession. We confess the sins that we do know and do remember, and then simply say, and for all my other sins, Father, that I can't remember, I'm sorry. And you are absolved from those as well, totally. If you remember them after you've been absolved, you're still absolved. But if it's something substantial, even if it's not mortal, you might want to include it in your next confession. You might want to say, Father, I remembered lying to my mother or to my wife or to my spouse or to my employee, let's say, for example, and I didn't remember it during last confession. I know you forgave me all my sins, and I trust that, but I want to confess that I did lie, and I'm sorry for it. That's it. That's it. So not to worry, John. God is so merciful, and when the priest says, I absolve you, the priest doesn't say that. It's God who says it. God is the high priest. God alone forgives sins. He forgives sins through the instrumentality of the human priest. So when you hear the priest say, I absolve you, it's Christ saying that to you through the priest. And Christ knows your heart. Okay, let's see now. There's a little note here that just came in from Facebook from Marcel. And she said, I was wondering what you think, Mother Miriam, on what happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral at the transgender funeral mass. Well, that sums it up, Marcel, doesn't it? I did see the videos of the transgender funeral mass at St. Patrick's in New York. The church was completely packed, and every form of abomination was present. Dancing and transgenderism and homosexualism, everything. And I think we need to pray for the priest who was there and welcomed them. A priest of New York, it's unthinkable. I don't know where that priest's soul is, but he's certainly not Catholic or living the Catholic faith. So it was a total abomination. The fact that Cardinal Dolan did not see it as an abomination and said, we welcome everybody. We don't scrutinize them when they ask to have a funeral. That's an abomination. And he has given up his priesthood in that. He's supposed to be a shepherd of the people. If someone wants to have a funeral at a parish that you are in charge of, why would you not ask them if they're Catholic and what's happening? Why would you not? I think Cardinal Dolan is in trouble. And I grieve for his spirituality, whatever it is, because it's not Catholic, and it has hurt many, many people. Especially for him to head that magnificent cathedral of St. Patrick's is an atrocity to me. So that's what I think of it, Marcel. It should never have happened, and I agree with the number of people who said that cathedral needs to be reconsecrated all over again. I agree with that. We have an email from somebody who writes it anonymously and says, hello, Mother Miriam. To be at adoration and see a young woman coming in wearing short shorts just makes me cringe. Well, whoever you are, it should make you cringe, and she should not be allowed in there. My pastor had a few words in the bulletin about attire in God's house, but never says anything from the pulpit. I've emailed him about this and no response. Well, beyond that, there should be a sign in this day and age, unfortunately, on the door of the chapel saying, no one is allowed who in shorts, in t-shirts, in anything sleeveless, low cut, tight, or above the knees. It should say all that. And then when someone walks in, you have a right to go up to her and say, I'm sorry, miss. I'm sure you missed the sign outside, but you're not allowed in here with short shorts. Now, you may say, yeah, but her faith is more important. Yes, it is. And respecting God is, and respecting what the church says is. And so we would put her out. Anonymous says, sadly, I believe no one has taught them to dress respectfully. You're right. When going to church, no shorts, no bare arms, etc. I feel for them, the little girls and their moms right beside them dressed in inappropriate clothing. What are your thoughts? Well, I've given you my thoughts. I see young ladies, some at the Latin Mass, in high heels, bare legs, tight clothing, sleeveless, low cut, all of that. And I want to take their moms aside privately and help them. But the moms are dressed the same way. It's absolutely horrible. And they should not be allowed into church. And the pastors should man up, so to speak, and take charge of that. And then Anonymous says, what do you think about mothers nursing their baby during Mass? There are two places in my church for parents with young ones. I feel that nursing an infant is a special bond between mom and child, not meant for any public viewing. Well, I agree with you. It's not meant for public viewing. And if the mother could take the baby into a cry room or into the back, I would also advise that. So God bless you all for wanting Catholicism to be what it is. There's the end of our program. And we'll, God willing, be with you tomorrow, beloved. Live your faith with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And whatever you do, don't be silent against sin, because it's charitable. Speak the truth in love. But if you are silent, you could care less about the souls of others. God bless you.